We are so delighted you have joined us today, my friends Darla and Cindy and I. And gosh, you can probably tell we have tears in our eyes because we have just been laughing and laughing and had a hard time getting the cameras rolling and getting into it. Woo! Are y'all ready to start?
We're ready.
I mean, we need to settle down. Hey, before we get going on the Living Scripture, I do want to tell you I'm really excited about a new podcast show that we've started, and it's called Garden for Life. Woo-hoo. That is hosted by a great friend of ours, Farmer Fred Billings. You know, there's a food crisis in many parts of the world, and a lot of people are wanting to know how to grow their own food. And in this show, Fred is going to teach you how to grow your own food, and he's also going to show you how churches can come together and put in gardens and actually grow their own food pantry for their church, for their church's benevolence program. Anyway, it's got a lot of great content. I am just over the top about it, so I hope you'll check it out. And if you watch on pray.com, it runs live at 8:30 Central Time on Monday mornings. Otherwise, it'll be posted on our website, heartstonenetwork.com, and YouTube. So, well, I guess that's enough of that. Last time we left off at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. So I think we're ready for verse 19.
Yes, and I have a short little bloop to say. Fred Billingsley and I went to high school together, and he was one of the key people that brought me to Christ.
He prayed you in, didn't he?
He prayed me in. He
was
on the council.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah. Let's see, I graduated in 80. I graduated in 80, and I don't go to the high school grad. But anyway, anymore. But
how's that for small worlds?
Is that a super, super small world?
He's a guy that loves the Lord, that's for sure.
And the council prayed for 70 students. We had over, I think, close to 700, and I was one of the 70. I mean, you have to when you're class clown and most radical.
Well, he hasn't changed. He's now very passionate about teaching people to see the invisible attributes of God in the garden.
So if you get an opportunity to watch this, you're going to be blessed. It's going to be cool. Okay, Ephesians 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Woohoo! Having been built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit.
Now, what translation is that?
That's a mouthful. New American Standard.
Okay.
Good old background.
Well, Cindy?
Start us off.
What's your thoughts? Love that first verse talks about how we now belong to God's family. And don't we all crave family? Or being part of a family where you're loved and accepted. You can show up and be in your, however you show up and you're loved and accepted. And
it says you're no longer foreigners. And you actually lived in a foreign land as a foreigner for a number of years. So give us your perspective on that, probably a little different.
Right. Yeah, I often felt like an outsider. And there was so many things I didn't know that took time to learn. And so actually church or the community of believers was a place I could go to and feel like I had family. And so people, even though they were from different countries, if they were on our team, you just felt like you had one heart for Christ to love others with the same passion to bring God's kingdom to earth. And so there was this unity and camaraderie, and it met such a huge need for me, for family in a foreign country, because you did feel like an outsider.
I was somewhere a couple of days ago, and I remember looking around at people, and it was a lot of, I was actually in a church service, and there was about 250 people, and there was maybe six Caucasians and a lot of people from India and all kinds of races in there. And I actually found it very exciting. It was a lot more exciting to me than just a, all one race kind of church. Mm-hmm. But I remember thinking it's so interesting because it doesn't matter where we live. And even when I go to Africa or other countries, if you are brothers and sisters in Christ, it pulls you together and you do feel the common bond. You really do. There's something that breaks down those barriers and you don't feel like foreigners with one another.
Right. You're one citizen, like of a kingdom. I even had written down, you're like a supernaturalized citizen of the kingdom of God. Cool. I thought that was a cool way to say it.
It is. And I, you know, I agree with you on realizing that it seems like in the days ahead and where we're beginning to move, we're finding that people are coming together, not based off of our skin color anymore, but based off of being in the kingdom. And, you know, he says that, you know, the kingdom is made up of every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every people. And the fact that, you know, we can't even get along as white people, just having different philosophies, different understanding, you know, evangelical, I'm from this place, there, all the divisions that are there. God says that his kingdom is a kingdom of diversity. It's unity in diversity. And I think, you know, we were talking beforehand, before the show, about some of the things you're becoming a part of, Sandra, things that I've done. We've all been those that have gone to nations, and we have an appreciation for the diversity that we each have to bring. But man, is it something that has to be laid on a foundation of Jesus? Otherwise, like it's saying in here, he is the cornerstone of who we are. Otherwise, how are we ever going to be able to bring in this diversity of cultures into what is a melting pot of the kingdom and valuing one another for who we are? Because have you been in a lot of places? I'm just saying, not in nation-wise, but just in America. So many places I've always been, it's the white people that are leading it. And what I'm beginning to see is there's other cultures that are leading. And and I'm loving the synergy.
Service I was at on Monday night, the worship was, it was like seven people. And I think there was one or two Caucasians. It was a mix of people. When my friends and I left, we went, golly, that worship was amazing. That was some of the best worship I've heard in a long time.
Right.
Yeah. It is exciting, and when you hear like different like accents and then different songs you've maybe never sung before. My husband was a pastor of an international church when we lived overseas for a while. And so what happens in international church is people who are overseas that come from all different churches, but they want to worship Christ, they all come together and they set aside their like little the things that they may have died on a hill for back in their home country, but they're willing to come unified to worship Christ. And it was so exciting for us to experience like all different denominations or different areas that they believed, and they all came together from different nations to
And I'll tell you worship. I'll tell you something I've been really aware of many times in the last few weeks is how God gives He'll give me a piece. He gives you a piece, he gives you a piece. And so I'm finding as I'm working with different people, I'm really getting appreciation for how we all need one another.
Oh my God.
Like I mentioned the show Garden for Life. Well, Fred and I are working together because we are creating a food. We're teaching people around the world, especially in third world countries, how to grow their own food and not starve. And we need each other because Fred has the expertise of how to grow the food. He also has a program that God gave him 30 years ago on discipling and learning and finding God in the garden and all the things you learn through growing food about God. Well, I'm the filmmaker and I'm the storyteller. So you see, I can take what he's done and make a story out of it. I can film it. I can put it together. So see, I just am really seeing the value of different giftings coming together. And I think that's part of this, but.
Well, I think very much so it is, especially like when I'm hearing you say things like that, you know, Fred has like what we would say nowadays, an apostolic call to that.
Yeah.
The ability to not only know about it, but to be able to build something it. With it. And here you are like a prophet that's coming in and taking that revelatory piece of what you're seeing and putting it into film so that it can actually go to many more people. You've probably done that with Heidi. I mean, it's just when we begin to see those pieces, you know, Cindy this morning got me, I was saying, oh, this is a prayer. This is a prayer on Ephesians 2. And she's like, no, isn't it? Isn't it three? Isn't it three? I'm like, no, it's two. No, it's three. She was right. And so I had to apologize for her being right. But this place of where God has gotten us, and I just love it right now because this is my heartbeat. He's moving us into corporate.
Yeah.
And he's moving us into understanding that we are making a puzzle. Mm. And each piece is meant. Sometimes your piece is next to someone because, like you and Fred, there's a piece of it that's connected together because you're doing something together. And then my piece is way down at the other end, away from yours, but it's all part of the mosaic. Yeah. And then sometimes our pieces come together and get, but we're all in this process of bringing together.
Well, it says in here
that
we're all becoming a holy temple, but it says, and you are being built together to become a dwelling place. But it talks about Jesus himself is the cornerstone.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But we're all pieces. But we could probably talk about this forever.
That verse that came to mind about that was how we are living stones. And 1 Peter chapter 2 talks about we are living stones being built into a spiritual house. And so
I think that's what we're talking about.
That's example of that. And it's very, I feel like there is such an anointing finally up on that. I mean, I think other nations do that a whole lot better than we do because they have a lot of lack where we've always had abundance. Mm-hmm. So there's an individuality about us, individualism.
Our self-sustenance or whatever is and now all of a curse.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And now we're moving into more of a corporate dynamic, which is incredible.
Which I think will make us exponentially more powerful. Or, you know, what is this, the scripture in Psalms? One can lay 1,000.
To 10,000 flight.
Well, continuing on with...
The thing that's come to my heart was where I was listening to this, because one of my key verses I love is God puts the lonely in families. And I just feel watching are some people in countries where they can't walk into a church, but they need community, they need family. And today you can often log on to... You can even sign up for a group online, probably from a foreign country, and become part of a small group. And so God's made it possible today that you could find a family online by finding a church that you like and you listen to their message and then log on and get into a small group that's on Zoom. What do y'all think about that? Because I was just feeling there's people that just can't walk to a church or find. We can choose hundreds of churches here in the Houston area.
There's also countries where you're being persecuted.
Yeah,
right.
You know, this program airs across a lot in the Middle East. And, you know, like right now, Christians are being killed in Pakistan.
Horribly.
We're thinking about you and we want you to find family.
Yes.
That's good.
Amen. Yeah. We'll continue on with chapter 3. It says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and shares together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I'll stop there. Now let's talk about, they're talking about Israel and Gentiles, and here we are 2,000 years later. How does this relate to us today?
Oh my goodness. To me, it is the cornerstone of where we were, because you and I wouldn't be in had Paul not gotten this revelation. Because to be honest, when he was given this, I think I don't think a lot of times we look at Paul as being one just like us that did not live while Jesus was alive.
That's true.
So he's like you and I. Everything that he, you know, was revealed to him and was brought into him was done by the Holy Spirit after the Damascus Road, and he was received this revelation, tried to come into a bunch of different churches and release this, especially coming back to Jerusalem. And Peter was like, oh no, Paul, you know, they get out. He went back for another 3 years and was hidden because they weren't ready to receive the revelation. Well, hello, isn't that so many times, just like we've been talking about so specifically about here, God's taking us out of evangelicalism and bringing us into an understanding of the kingdom of God. And it's something that's a new revelation. And
this is a great place to repeat something. I heard a pastor from India say this week at a service I was in, I went, okay, man, I hadn't thought of that, and it's right. You know what he said? He says, God spoke to me today. He goes, I had a vision of like a package that was wrapped up like gift paper. Mm-hmm. And he goes, what God said to me was, I'm bringing a new thing to America. He goes, it's a new thing. It's not like Catherine Coleman. It's not like Billy Graham, you know, or A.A. Allen. It's something new. And he goes, let me tell you, just think about this. Whenever anything new, really new comes, we haven't seen it before. And the first thing everybody says is that's demonic. He goes, so let's just say Moses one day goes back and says, guys, God just spoke to me through the burning bush. They could have said, God never spoke to Abraham in a burning bush, nor Isaac, nor Jacob. Must be of the devil.
Right.
And that's what everybody says. Wow. When you don't understand it, we haven't seen it before. It's of the devil. You know,
right.
It's like now you take this heat wave. Well, we're in Texas and a lot of places in the country, but we've had what, over 3 months of 100 degrees, no rain. This is like
super dry.
Way records here. Yeah. What's going on? And people are wanting to know what's going on. And there's been prophets that started even back in March talking about how God, we were going to see a huge, really bad heat coming. Well, from what I know of God, whatever God's going to do in the natural, in the supernatural, in the spiritual world, he'll do in the physical world. And
absolutely.
He said, God is turning up the heat to reveal a lot of this evil that's been going on. And he said, more and more people are going to be getting sick and tired of the corruption and the bad things happening. So as God is turning the heat up, it's been hot in the physical. That makes so much sense to me. But people keep going, no,
it's demonic.
They keep thinking it's people controlling the weather and all kinds of stuff.
Drives me crazy.
And you know, here's the thing. Read the Old Testament. God is not, Jesus is the lamb, but he's also the lion. People think God can't or won't do anything unless it's just sweet, loving, and everything else. That doesn't mean he won't pull back the veil and say to Satan, all right, I'm going to let you do what you do, because it's not because he's punishing and he's trying to save us and he has to get our attention.
Mm. Oh gosh. Don't. Okay. I gotta go.
All right. Go back to Ephesians. Don't get, all right.
No, I'm going to Psalms 19. I want to read this here for just a minute. There is no speech, nor is there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterance to the ends of the world. In them, he has placed a tent for the sun, while which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run his course. Mine is not saying it right, but then it goes, and there is nothing hidden from the heat. The Lord showed me this verse and said, what is happening in Texas right now? We just got through branding the land with a brand that says Espiritu de Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus. There was a prophetic word given in 2017 by Lana Valser that there would
from
be
Australia.
From Australia, that there would be a branding iron that would come down and brand Texas, in the middle of Texas, the word Jesus. We just finished branding all 254 counties in Texas. And what we knew we were doing was we were marrying the land back to Jesus. Marrying the land back to the bridegroom. Mm-hmm. And what you're saying, the perspective shouldn't be a negative one. Mm-hmm. It should be a positive. Right now, he is using the sun as a canopy where the bridegroom is saying, nothing can be hidden from my heat.
Right.
And we found since then in Natchitoches, they have found, you can look up online, they have found a boat because the water level, Neches River.
Okay.
I can't ever say that one right. N-E-C-E-S. Okay. Neches River. It is so low that they found a 150-year-old wooden boat. They also have found, I'm a spiritual mapper person too. I love spiritual mapping. But they also found an extinct, an endangered turtle that came up on the shore of Wales. And they have life-flighted it back to the United States, back over to the Gulf Coast because its base is here. So what I'm saying in this is what you are trying to say is there is mysteries, there's revelation, there is things that God is doing. If we don't continue to allow God to give us new revelation, we're going to miss what he is trying to do by looking at it exactly as you're saying, as it always is something that's against.
If we don't like it, we always think it's the devil.
And here's another one last thing. I prompt. Let me just say this one. I had just read something recently that God doesn't do something new. He always, it's a renewal. Just like with Moses, you brought up like Moses had his temple. It wasn't that he got rid of what he did in the desert with that temple. And the only place the glory was found was in the Holy of Holies. Mm-hmm. Then in David's temple, it filled the whole sanctuary that he had there. Mm-hmm. Then when he renewed it again and made Solomon's temple, the people couldn't even get near it.
Yeah,
it's always a renewal. So when you're saying this guy saying, hey, here's a gift that's come to America and God's going to do something new, it's a renewal of something before. And every single time, it always comes with a greater glory.
Wow.
So yes, Lord, we pray.
So
we pray that. Lord, I just feel we need to pray that. We pray that you would bring a renewal to the nations, to America, to even Texas, and whatever you're going to do in a Texas that's going to affect the nations.
Yes.
And Lord, whatever is beyond our wildest imagination, like it was beyond their wildest imagination that Jews and Greeks could be united and in the same church. Like they could not even comprehend it. So if there's any barrier that prevents us from like, from our wildest imagination, seeing what you're doing, we pray that you would give spirit-filled eyes to believe and see it and trust it's you in the name of Jesus.
And Lord, we just thank you specifically for Houston, where we're filming, where we're out of. Lord, you have brought the nations to Houston. And so, Father, we thank you that you are bringing forth a prototype out of Houston from every tribe, nation, and tongue, where pastors, leaders, intercessors, watchmen come forth to bring a sound that resonates so that we see the glory of God come. And so, Father, I just thank you for Sandra and her ministry and what she does to continually bring the prototype, bring something that's unique and a renewal that has never been brought forth before. So, Father, we thank you for what you are doing and how you are causing us to really see what Paul is saying with fresh eyes, a renewal of the Jew and Gentile all coming together corporately to bring their peace so that the kingdom is advanced. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. And I had written that Paul had to set aside his pride and his spiritual understanding. Like he had so much training, right? He knew the Old Testament backwards and forward. He had to set all that aside and trust what he was being led by the Spirit of God and that encounter he had with Jesus and realize he had an incredible privilege presented before him to bring the gospel to the Gentiles.
Right. And think about that. He had all what you're saying. I mean, he was a Roman and he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. But then God says, guess what? I'm not going to let you talk to the Jews. I'm going to have you go out and get those that are not of you, where you would have thought like a Peter that was just a fisherman might have been able to connect. Right. Do you know what I'm saying? Well, it didn't even have the depth
or a Gentile of the rich. That would have been the one to reach him. But yeah,
so he chose, you know, don't you think it's interesting that God uses whoever, whoever says yes and whoever's willing. I mean, don't you see that, Sandra? I've watched you year upon year upon year help. She's got that funny look. What are you going to say about me?
To the outcast,
to the ones that are on the side, to the one that has that unique something. You find the beauty in what God is doing outside of norm, and you make it come to life.
Well, thank you. I don't sit around thinking about it. I mean, I just do what I do.
And I love it.
You do. You know what I mean? You think whatever you do is normal.
Your mind never stops.
What?
Your mind never stops.
That does become a problem in the night when I'm trying to sleep.
We'll talk afterwards.
But no, what I was telling y'all, I had a dream. I had a dream. The dream I had a couple nights ago. This probably doesn't relate, does it?
Oh, it's great. Let's just go.
Well, I had a dream that I was on this big movie set. It was like a $250 million production. And there was these three guys on there that all took a shine to me for some reason. And they were offering me a big job on this film, like to be director or producer or something. It was so funny because in this dream, God was like a person there. And I said, God, listen, I know I'm not, this isn't the work I'm supposed to do, but just this once, can I stop, you know, what I'm doing and come work on this big film? I know it's fluff and stuff, but it'll be fun and it'll be exciting and it'll be really successful and it'll just be really cool. So could I just like take a break and kind of work on this for just once? And God looked at me with this big smile and he said, you have one life to live. You get to choose how you want to spend it. And I looked at him and I went, never mind. And then I woke up and I went, how interesting. But you know, I guess what I found out in that dream, is your dream supposed to be your subconscious or whatever?
Can be.
So I guess.
I think it was definitely God.
Like I would tell you now in a conversation, oh, I would always choose the work I'm doing like in Africa in the films. You know, I have to scrimp and save and I never know where the next dollars come from. I'm going to make this production and I don't know how we're going to get it out. And you know, I've said to God, if you offered me all the riches in the world to make whatever projects I wanted, never worry about money, or I could do these films like Garden for Life, I would pick that. And I guess in my dream, he was saying, you really would. That's,
you know,
just the fact that God calls our name, says,
yes,
as our hands wave to and fro, going, pick me, and he goes, all right, I'll pick you. I mean, gosh, it makes you feel so tiny that we get to do anything, so tiny. I mean, I don't feel like anything's special. I feel like, wow, I hope he doesn't get up one day and go, Paul, David, Noah, guys, what was I thinking when I called Sandra's name? Help me.
That is not like him at all. We already did Psalms 139.
I know it.
You are beautifully and wonderfully
I know, but I'm a human being. I'm a human being. And you wake up and go, wait, what?
But isn't that what makes it so exciting is that you have to have the faith?
Yes.
And then when he questions you, what I love about that was, here's everything that you ever would have thought you wanted in filmmaking, and yet I'm giving you that option, and you chose faith.
Yeah,
I'd rather have
live like this,
right?
Hanging by my fingernails. Can we pay the bills?
Right. You'd rather have that place of having to know that what you've asked of me is beyond my checkbook. Yeah. It's beyond
I talked to this filmmaker on the phone a couple of days ago. He does ministry, and I said, I just want to check and see if I'm like right in the stream. Very often, do you have to live like hanging by your fingernails? And he said, every day. Single day of my life. And I went, I thought I was right where I was supposed to be.
Isn't that so true? But that's for each of us.
But you know what? That's what's fun.
It is. Because
you know what? Then when it comes through, you cry, you shout, you slap your hands, you go, God, it's like, I just have to stand up and say, God, I am yours. Yours. If we go down, we go down together. But I'm not going to back up from what you've told me to do. It may get scary, but I'm not. I'm staying in there. And I just want to encourage all of you watching that you sit here and put up with our conversations. I really do hope you're getting something from it. I hope it's sparking some thoughts in your mind. But I want you to really, I guess I just want to encourage you to follow your heart because Scripture tells us God gives us the desires of our heart.
Right.
So, you know, when I had this desire to do something to teach people how to grow food that don't have food, it's because God put that desire in me. He puts these desires in us. Mm-hmm. And if we say yes, then he makes the connections and he makes the doors open. And, you know, I talked to a pastor yesterday. We asked about what we were doing and we both agreed we're on a need to know basis. The minute we need to know, God will tell us. You know, it's not usually real far out there, but I want to encourage you to step out in faith. If God's given you a desire of your heart or a dream, you just take him at his word that those desires come from him.
But can I ask you one thing on that, though? You didn't step out on this big, gigantic thing. It was all the little yeses along the way, don't you feel? Of the smaller things that he asked?
Where you build
your confidence in him is what I'm saying.
It is. And then it culminated a few years back, I think in 2016. He told me to go to Mozambique, Africa. And I went. I went to see Heidi Baker of Iris Global, and I took a crew of five. And I remember sitting there on the plane saying, you know, Lord, if the people in my industry knew that I had a crew of five with all this gear, 10 check bags, 10 carry-on bags, all these people, all this crew, headed to Africa. People would say, oh, why are you going? All I could say, I had no idea. I had no idea where we were going. I just know he said to go. And I thought, if people in this industry knew I was going without pre-production and a plan and a script and knowing where I was going. And you know what happened on that? Let me tell you what happened on there. As soon as we got there, Heidi looked at me and she goes, oh, I need to take you to meet my friends, Jose and Albertina. This was one of the most feared witch doctors who had just come to the Lord. And ever since then, we made a film. We call it Snakes in the Fire. That show is used every week.
Love it.
In Mozambique and in Uganda, people are coming to the Lord every month, every week, woo-hoo, getting baptized because of that story.
Unscripted.
It was a fabulous story that
yeah,
we went and captured, and I wound up going several trips back to finish it. But that's the point. The point is we hadn't just said, yes, God, and gone.
You have to move.
There would be people that would not have seen the story. And like Heidi just sent us a film recently that said half the village came to Christ when they saw what happened to this guy. Now, this isn't because of us. It's because of what God did
in
this couple, because you can physically see it. So,
but it's so, but it is, and also it's a movement.
It is.
You have to, you know, a dream becomes something because you take a step. And that's what faith is all about, and taking that step.
And a calling. Yes. I feel like it was, Paul considered it such a privilege after he kind of received the calling that he was to be the missionary to the Gentiles. And it's been, I think you would say, it's been a privilege because you started filmmaking many, many years ago, and you were
over
kind
40.
Of... Right, and you were breaking ground for Christian filmmaking and wanting to put out, and you would say now that it's been a privilege. You've actually are laying the ground for many others.
Oh, I don't know if I am or not. I just know I get to do my little
part.
But I think
what's beautiful is what I think what we're all trying to say here, and it doesn't have to be just a filmmaker. It can be what
anybody.
I am, and it can be the missionary, and it can be what you're doing. Mm-hmm. The whole thing of it is taking those steps of faith, because when you do, all of a sudden you fall in love with him, and you know that even though you're living like this, you've never seen him not get you where you got to go. I can breathe now.
Yes.
Right. And then take you to another whole level, right?
And if you're wondering, I don't know what God wants me to do, this I can tell you. He wants you to love. Yeah. Love with your whole heart. There are people all around you that need to be loved. And I'm telling you, love changes the world. And there's nothing more important than, what does he say? Love God and love others. Yeah. So make that your mission today, to love others. And we thank you so much for joining us. We will pick it up next week with Ephesians 3 something or other, wherever we left off.
Seven, whatever. Cindy's right.
Anyway, we do hope you're enjoying these talks that we're all having together. We'd love to hear from you. Reach out.
Yes.
If you're watching on Pray, send us a testimony on our site, Heartstone Network on Prayer, or go to our website, heartstonenetwork.com. Mm-hmm. I think there's an email on there when you can ask a question or tell us your story at contact@heartstonenetwork.com. So anyway, thanks so much for joining us, and we want you to have a blessed week filled with the favor of God. Go love somebody today. Amen.
Faithfulness, because the wilderness for my benefit. I trust in you. I see your faithfulness. What do you want to do? Oh, I trust you, Lord. 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 Oh, I trust you, Lord.
Far-flung Tin Can is spreading the gospel and helping others in the most remote places on earth. Our work in the Amazon is ongoing and you can be a part. Farflingtincan.com is a place to get plugged into missions. You can apply to join us on our monthly far-flung trips, or you can help send us to far-flung places by giving. A lot happened on this trip, including a live worship recording on the boat and in the jungle. You can purchase this album digitally or stream it on all platforms.